by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to In Your Backyard. We have rain today. It is pouring outside. We're probably going to get another inch or so this week. Over at the house, we received over 6 inches of rain over the last few days. And in fact, that May drought that we had just for just a short period of time there, May is our dry time of the year, it's gone now. And we have a host of beautiful rain lilies in the yard. You're seeing them pop up all over after all of the beautiful rain. You're going to want to stay tuned to In Your Backyard today. We have a wonderful guest on at the bottom of the half hour, Susan Fox. She is the world's top, part of the top 10 rosarians on social media. And she is also a consulting rosarian. She is an award-winning photographer and founder of Gaga's Garden. It's a great blog and website. And she is the author of Four Seasons of Roses, Monthly Guide to Rose Care. So she's going to be in our second half of In Your Backyard, and I'm looking forward to talking with her. She is a wonderful person, and she knows her roses. And those of you who think you can't grow roses in Florida, well, we're going to tell you how to do it, okay? Susan will be on at the bottom of the half hour, and so that is good. Now, what is blooming right now in the garden? Everything is just blooming beautifully. The plumbagos are blooming beautifully. The ixoras are blooming beautifully. I noticed them everywhere. And ixoras are an unusual plant for the garden. They are a tropical plant. They don't necessarily like freezes. So those of you in Leesburg, Ocala area will see them get frozen out, but they should come back. But down in South Florida, Orlando area, they are doing wonderfully, and they like acidic soil. They can take full sun or shade, but if they're in full sun, they like to have regular water. So they'll do fine during the summertime. It's only during periods that are dry that they don't, they start to get a little bit, they get burned leaves a little bit that they don't like not having moisture there. So moist soils, full sun or shade, they bloom in both. They're a great plant. And, you know, I never see them with insect problems. I see them with nutrition deficiencies, but not insect problems. Also blooming right now are the chase trees. Beautiful, beautiful chase trees. Chase trees have a purple flower. They are fragrant, and I love putting them in yards as a small tree. Okay, understory tree, but they like full sun. They get to be about 15 feet tall, and the flowers, okay, don't kill me for saying this, but they look like lilacs, okay? But they don't smell like lilacs, okay? But if you're looking for that lilac type of tree, then you can try a chase tree. They do very well here in Florida. Crepe myrtles are blooming beautifully everywhere. For those of you who didn't murder them in the wintertime, you know, just letting them grow naturally without cutting them, without that really harsh hacking, will make them bloom much better. Okay, cutting them more doesn't make them bloom better. In fact, the panicles are larger. You do get larger blooms, but you get less of them. If you would let them grow naturally without committing crepe myrtle, without cutting them back harshly, they are going to have more blooms. They're going to be thicker, and they are going to not be as large so that the branches hang down. Have you ever seen that? Where the flower head was so tall or so large on a crepe myrtle that it hung right down to the ground? That's a big clue that you're cutting it incorrectly. Okay, so let them grow naturally. Let them be the height that they want to be. Plant them in the right place. You know, crepe myrtles get from 6 foot tall to 40 feet tall. And if you're putting a 40 foot tall crepe myrtle right next to your front door, that's the wrong place, okay? And so you want to put them in the right location. The University of Florida has a great publication on all the different types of crepe myrtles. And my favorites right now are the black diamond crepe myrtles. The black diamond crepe myrtles, you can find them at the nurseries, Simon Seed Nursery in Leesburg, also Appenberry's in Orlando, and Lucas Nursery in Oviedo. They have the dark branches, they have the burgundy leaves, and then the colors are amazing. So I really enjoy using black diamond crepe myrtles in my landscape designs. So they're wonderful there. So what else is blooming? We have Jerusalem thorn. Now, Jerusalem thorns are an unusual tree. They have a yellow flower. And last week, I posted the triple yellow flowering trees that you should have in your yard if you love the color yellow and you want it in your yard all year round. You know, I published photographs of the tabebuias, the acacias, and then also the ginkgo biloba trees. And the ginkgo bilobas turn bright yellow in the fall. And so you can have that yellow color all year round. Well, Jerusalem thorn also provides that yellow color, but it's a different type of tree. It is a non-native, and it is deciduous. It loses its leaves in the wintertime, and the flower comes back. It has a kind of a weeping effect, but it's called Jerusalem thorn. So there are big, huge thorns on it that you want to make sure that you place it, you locate it in an area where it's not going to have people walking by it, or you don't necessarily want to put it in your pool, your patio area. It takes full sun, very drought tolerant. And by that, I mean, you really don't have to have an irrigation system for it. It grows very nicely. After it's established, with water, you can then let it go and it will be based just on rainfall. It is a great tree, even for the Sandy Ridge, Lake Wales, Sandy Ridge area, Claremont, Mineola, Groveland area. The Jerusalem thorn tree is a really good tree for sandy soils. So that's blooming there nicely. Also too, I've seen the jacaranda tree blooming down in Orlando, and we do have some here in Lake County that are really lakefront. They're by the lake, and that keeps them a little bit warmer. Jacarandas have that beautiful purple flowering tree. Also, too, the orange Geiger trees are blooming, and also the poinsettias are blooming, too, as well. Angel trumpets, they're a great tree. They're the Brugmansia selections. They are evergreen. They're non-native, but they are good for using in landscapes. They have the flowers that can be double or single, and they remind me of ladies' petticoats or ladies' Victorian gowns. They have the little ruffled bottoms of their flower that turns up, and it looks so beautiful. They come in colors from pink and white and yellow, peach colored, and they do very nicely. They're angel trumpets, that's what they're called, but their scientific name is Brugmansia, and there's different varieties of those too as well. So that's a little bit about what's blooming besides rain lilies and plumbagos, and we have a lot of plants here in Florida, flowers. You can plant all year round and have flowers blooming every day out of the year. The ground orchids are doing beautifully, and ajuga is blooming right now. Ajuga is a great shade plant. They have that burgundy glow, which is a soft green and a little bit of purple and cream, and then it has blue flowers on it. And so ajuga does very nicely, and also the ajuga black scallop, it is a shade plant. Let me tell you that, especially for Florida. Yes, you can grow them in full sun, but they need a lot of water. And I would say they act more as annuals in the full sun. If you'd like them to be perennial in your yard all the time, plant them in shade. And that goes for impatience. and New Guinean patients. New Guinean patients do well in the full sun. Impatiens are coming back. We're seeing them in the stores again, and they're looking really good. No disease issues with them right now, and they are better for the shade. Coleuses can also add a lot of color to your landscape as well. So we have Susan Fox. She is the founder of Gaga's Garden. She is one of the top 10 rosarians in social media world, and she is going to tell us how to grow roses here in the South, especially because it's hot. She knows how to do it. And so I'm looking forward to that. You're listening to Teresa Watkins here, and we're on In Your Backyard in Real Country AM 790 WLBE.
All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and All-Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All-Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884.
And we're coming back to In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. I'm a landscape designer, a horticulturist, landscape designer, an environmental consultant, and I love helping people with their backyards. Now, June is National Rose Month, but it is also start of termite season. And we're starting to see the termite swarm. You want to make sure that you're checking and walking your yards on a regular basis. You want to keep up your termite treatments. That's very, very important so that you don't get them. You want to make sure your irrigation is not hitting your house. If you keep your foundation dry, that is going to make your home less susceptible to termites. The wetter your yard is, the more you irrigate, the more susceptible you're going to be to termites. Now, I had a question last month, and they said, Teresa, are these termites? And they sent me a picture, and they weren't. They were little roly-polies, okay? Little millipedes, roly-polies, and I remember my sister used to collect them in her pocket. She would go out in the ground, and she would get them out of the sand and dig them up and put them in her pocket. But here's how you tell the difference between a termite and an ant, okay? Termites have straight antennas. So don't squish if you see something, don't squish it. Okay. You want to make sure you can identify it and even put it in a jar and take it to your local county extension office and they can tell you whether it's a termite or an ant. But termites have straight antennas where ants have elbow antennas. So stick your hand upright and see that junction, that 90 degree angle. That is an elbow, right? So ants have elbow antennas. If you look at the wings on a termite are equal size. The wings on a termite are equal size. The wings on an ant are unequal. The bottom wing of an ant and the top wing, the bottom wing is smaller than the top wing, and not by a little, a lot. So if the creature you're looking at, the little critter you're looking at, has an unequal wing size, it is not a termite. And then the best way to tell is look at the body. In an ant, it has a really tiny waist.
okay? Tiny waist below the thorax, and you can definitely see a waist. Whereas a termite, it has the thorax and it has a waist, but you really can't see it, okay? So if the critter does not have a waist that is really very easily visible, it is a termite. Okay, so it's the elbowed antennas, unequal wing size, slender waist. That's an ant. If it is got, if the critter has straight antenna, equal wing size, and a broad waist, it is a termite. All right, so check it out. Make sure you're walking your yards on a regular basis. With me right now is Blondine Galbraith, and she's always with us at the 20 after the half hour. And so good afternoon, Blondine. How are
you? Good afternoon.
It is a great day. It's raining.
I know. We need it.
We definitely need it. What's going on at Simon's Seed?
Well, we're going toward that lull of summer.
Yes.
But we're here, and right now is a great time to plant grass seeds.
This is definitely a great time for bahia grass seeds, centipede.
Yes. We have contractor's mix, which is a combination with some brown top millet. We have Argentine bahia, Pensacola bahia. We also have centipede. And if anybody wants Bermuda, we can also get that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Other than that, besides the grass, there's a few things you can still plant vegetable-wise. Your okra, of course,
sure.
And your southern peas. Speaking of southern peas, for the folks that are kind of pulling up their spring garden because it's all over and they want to plant something like a legume to keep the weeds down and, you know, improve the soil, we have black-eyed peas,
sure.
And I'm putting them on sale for like $2.50 a pound.
Oh, that's good.
So you can just broadcast them over your garden, and then when you get ready to start your fall garden, you can just plow them under and get all that good green manure, and being a legume, of course, that's even better. And you can maybe pick a few black eyes for that matter.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, no, they take the heat very well.
They do, yes, absolutely. Other than that, you know, we have house plants. The folks that have maybe their grandkids around for the summer and they want to plant terrariums or fairy gardens, we've got a great selection of little baby plants. And we have some succulents that are little babies as well. So that would be a good project. Also have some ferns, all different kinds,
mm-hmm.
Terrace fern and Leslie and foxtail fern and mahogany ferns, and those are great. You can use them indoor on the lanai if it's shady, or you can even plant them outside.
They do, especially if they have moist soils in the shade. Yeah, they do very well.
Yeah, speaking of the shade, we also have some beautiful caladiums.
Oh, this is the time of the year.
Yeah, we've got some plants, two different sizes, and you can plant them and know that they come back every year. So it's a great perennial. We also have some black-eyed Susan that are blooming right now. We've got whirling butterflies and different types of daisies and some milkweed and some salvia. So lots of good heat-tolerant plants that will make it through the summer. So
that now also, too, do you have some roses like Louis Philippe that...
We do have some Louis Philippe, and I have some drift roses.
Yes.
We're taking a little bit of a break for the hybrid teas. Nelson typically does a lot of propagating, mostly in the summer. So September is when we'll get a new shipment.
But Louis Philippe's grow year-round, and they bloom year-round, and they have no disease and insect issues.
None whatsoever. Don't have to spray them. We also have some interesting blooming things like Jatropha, which is a red blooming plant that attracts butterflies and hummingbirds. And this is a compact variety, so it looks really, really good.
Ooh, wonderful.
Has some red rocket crepe myrtles as well, which is a beautiful color.
We have them in our house, and they do lovely.
They do. In vines, we have some passion vines, which are great butterfly larval food. So we've got some of those. Like I gotta say, hibiscus. We've also got some, as I'm walking down here, firebush, a firefly, which is a little compact shrub.
Sure.
That does really well all summer long. Different types of ground cover, Asiatic jasmine. We also have the one called Summer Sunset.
Oh, I love that one. And that's really unusual. I was telling someone the other day that, you know, Asiatic jasmine comes in other colors besides
green.
Yes,
it does. It comes in green and white variegated. And, of course, you do have to pay a premium price for that. And I gather that it's probably a patented variety.
Uh-huh.
Because they do charge quite a bit more for them. But they are stunning with the orange and the green and the yellow. They make a beautiful ground cover.
They do. And Asiatic jasmine, so that everyone knows, they sleep the first year, they creep the second year, and they leap the third year.
That's right.
And
exactly.
And they get to be about 5 feet wide. So they're a really great ground cover to put underneath a tree.
Very it's low maintenance.
Low
sun
maintenance.
Or shade.
Yep. Sun or shade, exactly.
Yeah, used, I know, by the city of Leeds, and quite a other municipalities. Kunti palms we have also, and then, you know, just a variety of green shrubs like boxwoods and different types of ligustrums and viburnums.
Sure,
and,
those are always great to plant in your yard for that hedge or privacy.
We also have some nice bird of paradise. These are the orange variety, blooming variety.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking really great. And then also a great plant, which I really like, is the dwarf Little John bottle brush.
I love those.
Yeah.
I love the soft mint color of the leaves.
Yes,
and
yes,
then they
yes.
still have the red. They too make a nice little hedge.
They do. Yes, they do. Some good looking lantana, of course, and
lantana.
Some of the blew my mind.
Blue Days.
Evolvulus, yep.
Oh, yes. The Blue Days is amazing.
Blue
it
days,
is such a
yep.
worker in the garden. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of different things.
Well, excellent. Tell everybody where you're located in Leesburg, and you do have a cover. They can look at the plants from underneath your patio.
Yes, yes. We'll even bring you an umbrella if you want.
There you go. That's wonderful. And this is the time of the year to plant. When everything is growing, is a great time to put plants in the
yep.
yard.
Yes, it is. So we're located downtown Leesburg on Magnolia Street at the corner of Magnolia and First, right next to the police station. We're open from 8 till 5:30 Monday through Friday, 8 till 1 on Saturday. And you can give us a call at 787-4415.
Thank you so much, Blondine.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, it's just a great place to go. I love walking around Simon Seeds Nurseries, and it's one of those old feed stores, and it's been in the family a long time, the Galbraith family a long time, and it's just fun to walk around, and she can get you. If you don't see what you like, you know, that's what the great thing about an independent nursery is. She will let you know where she can get it, and she will bring it in for you. So give her a call, 787-4415, or go by and see her downtown Leesburg and let her know you listened in your backyard. That's great. You're going to want to stay tuned to the bottom of the half hour. We have, I'm very excited about this, world-renowned Susan Fox. She is a Rosarian, one of the top 10 in the world on social media, and she is the author of Four Seasons of Roses, Monthly Guide to Rose Care. She knows what it's like to grow in hot weather. She is going to tell us how to do that, and she's been on national TV, and she is a rose judge. So she's at the Biltmore International Rose Trials. She is one of their great judges. So what a perfect person to have on the show and tell us exactly how to grow roses here in Florida. If you would like to connect with me, you can connect with me on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and also LinkedIn. You can go onto my Pinterest boards. I have over 90 of them, and I do have a rose board, and then also two different landscape design boards. You can go on and pull out plants and pin to your board if you like them, and you'll know exactly what to look for in the stores when you go to redesign your landscape. Also, too, I have a free monthly newsletter that tells you how to grow plants in your own backyard. That's what it's called, In Your Backyard newsletter. It's monthly. It is free. I don't sell any of the addresses. You don't get any spam. You'll get one email from me a month that will tell you everything to do that month. It will tell you my favorite plants, what kind of insects you can look for in your yard. And then also I give design tips too as well so that you can have a lovely landscape. So you can go to my website, which is www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, and you can go there and sign up for the monthly newsletters. You can check out some of my talks. If you'd like me to come and give a talk, I have the list there, and you can also hear the podcast of In Your Backyard whenever you want to, and that's on In Your Backyard radio page on my website. That's www.she-consulting.com, and you can hear that. We're coming back with Susan Fox, How to Grow Roses in the South. Stay tuned. You're listening to Teresa Watkins, Real Country AM 790 WLBE, In Your Backyard.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Sunnyland Professional and All Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884. Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, environmental consultant. I love to help people with their backyards. Love gardening here in Florida and doing it correctly so we protect our precious resources. You want to be sustainable and environmentally friendly. And this afternoon, we have a lot of rain coming down. So you want to hold off on putting fertilizer down now around the lakeshore area. Okay, follow the label. You always want to fertilize after a rainstorm and never before. With me right now, I'm very excited to say, is one of the world's top 10 rosarians in the social media platform. And her name is Susan Fox. She's the founder of Gaga's Garden. I have to ask her where she got the name for that. And she is the author of Four Seasons of Roses, Monthly Guide to Rose Care. And she is amazing. She is a international rose judge. And good afternoon, Susan. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Teresa. It's so great to be with you, and thank you for inviting me. You know, June is National Rose Month, and it's an honor to celebrate the rose with you and your listening audience of In Your Backyard.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's our national flower symbol. So roses are one of gardeners' favorite plants to grow, and here in Florida, they get a lot of frustration because we're in the South. But you are one of the best persons to talk to about what it is that, why people love roses and how to grow them.
It's true, Teresa. In my travels and my studies, 85%, as you say, of people say that the rose is their favorite flower. And I've really, really looked into, well, what brings that, you know, what brings that about? And I think it's part of that is the nostalgia roses bring of growing up with their parents and their grandparents' rose gardens, of just the love of roses and the fragrance, color, and the beauty that they add to any garden. You know, having bouquets, cut flowers, and yes, just the romance associated with roses.
Oh, I so agree with you. I remember growing up, and my mother had six children, but she always was had found time to have at least one rose in the yard. And I just remember growing up, and that one rose, she just cared for it so well. And it's, I love gardening because of that. And so now you were talking about the nostalgia and your book, it's the Four Seasons of Roses. We can grow roses year round here, practically most of the country, except for the really far up north, right?
It's true. Well, let's say, I would say, you know, I'm in zone 6B, and we have four seasons. So I would say the southern half of the United States, you know, California, many areas of the country, they still go into a dormant season. And, I mean, look at you, probably your best season for roses is when it's cooler. And Arizona, places like that, the heat, they're just sustaining their sustaining life. You know that.
Sure,
so
sure.
Better when it's cooler. So, as you say, you can grow roses most of the year.
So what are the best conditions to grow roses?
Well, when I built a new home, I thought I wanted to put roses in one place, but when I studied where I would spend most of my time, you want at least 6 to 8 hours of sun. And yes, people will say, well, can I plant them where there's 4 hours of sun? You can. I've planted roses where there's dappled sunlight, and the only thing that is really affected is they will just bloom a little less. They'll still be beautiful.
Sure.
And they like, yes, they like well-drained soil, and of course you need a good water source unless you want to be hauling water all the time.
Right.
And of course, fertilizer. And, you know, people do ask me this often, and they say, well, how much water? And if you say 2 inches per week, my little book, you know, it's more like a little diary of what to do each month. And I found it very useful to know what to do each month. But 2 inches a week, I put it down in a chart in that book as more of a heat guidance.
Right.
You know, if it's 90 degrees, you want to water once a week. If it's 80, you can cut back to 2 times a week or 3 to 5 gallons a week. So, but they, roses are much more resilient than people think. They're really not.
I think so. And so when people are looking for roses, where do you suggest they go to find them? You know, good quality roses.
Teresa, this is really important right now for the listening audience to know. Right now, your online centers are between seasons, so it's late because bare root, where bare root roses are shipped,
right?
It's too late. It's too hot. So right now, and I think many people have seen that I do the Jackson Perkins Chess Gardens, and they're between season, but they're going to put out their fall, all of their fall roses tomorrow.
Wow.
So, yes, and they ship. They're going to have available for the first time 2 year budded plants, and you can order them, but they'll ship for the fall. You know, so you can order them and available Wednesday. But I say that because you can also get, and I'm really excited about the cordus roses they have available because they've done so much research in disease resistance and some of the Weeks roses. And this is the big thing. People want sustainability, Teresa.
Sure.
And that's the base of your show. So you want to look, and you're close to Witherspoon Rose. They have great roses. But if you're going to go online right now, the shippers are between seasons. They're going to be putting up their fall roses, and you'll order, and they won't come until it's cooler. Okay?
Sure.
So that's real important to know. But I do know that Jackson Perkins, their new season starts tomorrow.
Well, now, I usually see roses coming in around Valentine's Day, February and March,
yes.
the bare roots. That's when they bring them in. And people are more excited to plant roses during the Valentine's season. So that makes sense. And so right here, we have a lot of people who move back up north. And so they're going back up north. And so, you know, again, the nurseries hold on to ordering flowers or ordering roses until the fall. So I can appreciate that. You know, it's hard to keep plants alive in a nursery. So
exactly.
I can appreciate that. So talk about zones, though, Susan. That's really an important factor.
Oh, you know, yes, it is. And, you know, I love one in particular, and it's Plant Map. And the reason I love it is because, you know, it has everything. So just it's the USDA Plant Hardiness Zones, and you enter your zip code, and it tells you everything. It says, you know, like the old farm, you know, like, I shouldn't say old farmers because there's a lot of young farmers, but it has the average first frost date, the average last frost, and that's key information. It has your climate zone, your eco region, and the Palmer Drought Index, and the average zone days. So that's what I want to know. I want to know, you know, how many average rain days. So enter your zip code put in the search Plant Map.
Tracy has been on our show, so this is push plantsmap.com.
No, she's a different one.
Oh, this is for the USDA.
Yes, this is Plant Map. It's just the word plant and map.
Okay.
She's great. But her function is different. She's identified.
Okay, so you're talking about the USD government page.
Yes.
Okay.
It's more, and the ARS, the American Rose Society, has their own USDA plant hardiness where, you know, like it goes plant map/USDA ARS.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, you can see your zone. So
I'll post that on Facebook after the show.
And then, you know, of course, Tracy has the other that gives you plant identifiers. So both are useful.
Right. I understand that. Now, we're getting ready to go to a hard break. Susan, can you stay with me through the hard break? Because I want to get your information on rosette disease and also about judging roses. I think garden clubs, which is a big part of my audience, they really like to know that. So we're going to be right back after a word from our sponsors. We're talking to Susan Fox. She is one of the world's top 10 rosarians, and she is an international rose judge. We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsors. Stay tuned. You're listening to In Your Backyard on Real Country AM 790 WLBE.
And a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and all-natural fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and all-natural fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884.
Row by row.
And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. I am with Susan Fox, founder of Gaga's Garden, and she's going to tell us about that. And she is a international rose judge and also author of the Four Seasons of Roses Monthly Guide to Rose Care. And Susan, now you know a lot about the health of roses and what's coming around and what's going around. So tell us about the rose rosette disease and what people should look for.
Okay, it's also known as witch's broom, and it's caused by a virus, and it's the virus is called the Imara virus, and it's spread by a microscopic mite, and it's called the erythroid mite. I might be saying that a little incorrectly, but it's spread in the wind by a person, animal, and then it feeds on a plant, and then that transmits the virus into the vascular system in the plant. So it was discovered in 1941 in California, and then it's just steadily marched eastward. And now this disastrous disease basically is in all states, all but nine have reported infestation. So what is the treatment? Basically, it's a deadly disease. You need to remove the bush right
okay,
now.
Okay, so if they see signs of witch's broom, they need to remove it.
Yes. And let me just tell you, though, you really need to check carefully, because did you know that overspray in farmland of the dreaded Roundup can produce symptoms that look similar?
Yes, it can.
So, yeah, thank you, because a lot of people don't know that. So don't get all panicky. You've got to check, because the final thing that will tell you if you have it is that excessive thorniness. So look at the cane, and if you've got just massive thorns, that's a dead ringer, okay?
Okay.
And also, when you remove it, this is crucial, because those little mites spread on the wind. They're microscopic. Put a bag over that bush before you begin to take it out. Put a plastic bag. If you don't use plastic, then put one of those trash bags over the bush. Seal that bush before you begin to dig it up.
Okay.
Then, and I've heard people say this, that the gardener that talks about it is a speaker that takes care of the Peggy Rockefeller garden, and he said he's seen people working in the garden that are supposedly removing a bush with rose rosette, and they're shaking it around. Do not shake that bush. Get rid of it. Basically, I've heard it's supposed to be literally destroyed by burning it. I mean, because otherwise you're taking it someplace else to just spread this deadly
thing. And then it'll get spread by wind somewhere else, and it'll eventually end in someone else's rose garden.
Yes.
Okay, that's a really good point, is to just cover it before you even start digging and seal it at the bottom, and then dig it up and throw it away into your trash bin.
And I know, I mean, we don't want to pollute the environment, but how much worse can it be than taking this someplace else where you're just spreading these deadly mites?
And so it's important too, then, that you don't want to take a clipping of it to the extension office them identify it. So you just take a picture.
Unless you're going to seal it completely airtight. But I mean, these are microscopic mites.
Yeah.
And it's really a scourge, because it spreads so easily. It can spread on your hands. You've got to be careful. And did you know, it's a top rosaria. You take care of one of the top rose gardens, and I don't want to misquote, but he's had people that he hires and that takes care of these huge gardens, and one of the criteria is that they search the garden for any hint of it every day.
Every
day.
Wow.
And if there is even a hint, that bush can be removed. And I will tell you, there has this doctor that I went to and listened to his lecture. He said there has been some reports of a little bit of effectiveness with a miticide, but, you know, I'm reluctant to say because, see, there's only tests with this.
Sure, sure. So, I understand that. So as a rose expert, you're asked to test roses. How do you do that?
Well, some of the growers and breeders send me roses and their roots. Weeks, certified Jackson Perkins. I put in a whole test garden for Jackson Perkins before they're released, and I just grow them, and I test them for everything that the hobby, you know, the hobbyist,
right,
the everyday gardener, what you think is important, and what everybody thinks is important for disease resistance, for fragrance, for the strength of the stem, the foliage, and then I, you know, I report back. And, oh, for winter hardiness, because, that, you know, well, and even heat, because we have hot summers.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
How do they stand up? So, and I'm a pretty, I've been growing roses since my mother, and then since 75, so I think I can be a pretty harsh critic.
Well, that's good. They want to know your opinion, and because then you're going to be able to recommend those roses, and you know, you've got to see if you've got a good quality rose or not. So I can appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Winners, they sent all of the Oh So Easy roses, and Milan, you know that video I put up of cherry pie?
Yes,
that's just the most beautiful, and Miracle on the Hudson. I mean, that they're just marvelous. The best roses.
Yeah, Proven Winners is really a nice nice company, or nice rose. They do very well. So now you're also a rose judge. And if somebody was interested in trying to grow roses for competition, what would you suggest that they do?
Well, this book, and I'm writing a review on it, actually. It's just simply amazing. It's everything that you could ever need, and it's International Principles of Exhibiting and Judging Roses, an Illustrated Approach by Louis T. DeSermo. And he is one of the world's renowned on teaching, exhibiting, and miniatures. So, but basically, a rose is judged for on a 100-point system. And, you know, just giving you a little sample.
Sure. Go right ahead. Tell us the grading criteria.
Okay. Exhibition form is 25 points. Color is 20 points. Condition and freshness is 15 points. Size, 10 points. And stem and foliage is 20. Balance and proportion, 10, for a total of 100. So,
and are there roses that get that 100 perfect score?
Well, those would be your blue ribbons. You know, those would be the roses that you see, you know, in a show. Everybody wants queen, and then the next is king, and then the royal court.
Oh, my. That sounds so fun to do. So I just know you have a great time doing what you love to do. So tell us a little bit about Gaga's Garden before we wrap up here, and how people can get a hold of your articles and all of your great blog posts. Tell us how we can do that.
Well, my website is www.gagasgarden, and just searchable. If you just put in Gaga's Garden, it's searchable on Google, and I write about just about everything about roses. And I have, you know, of course, a Facebook page, Gaga's Garden and Garden Legends, and I write about the favorite roses and the roses that win at the Biltmore Rose Trials. And that you just can't go wrong with any of those. So I think, and of course, the book that you mentioned is available on Amazon.
The Four Seasons Monthly Guide to Growing Roses.
Yes, it's more of a planner to help you figure out what to do every month.
So that would be a nice gift for your rose garden person.
It's just more of a monthly planner, you know, your guide for every month. So.
That is great. So now also to Gaga's Garden, and you talk more, you also talk about other types of plants.
Yes, because, you know, Teresa, I think like most gardeners, I rarely see a plant that I don't love. And I do love companion plants. You know, I think, you know, I'm looking for companion plants to put around the rose gardens. And I love perennials because I think that although I love annuals, Teresa, they are expensive.
Sure. No, and, perennials, you know, are the best way to do it. Sure. No, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, you look great in a garden with your wonderful, elegant Downton Abbey hats. I love it. You just look so beautiful in the garden. They have to go to Gaga's Garden and check out all of your wonderful posts on roses. Susan, thank you so much for coming today. I certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and I hope people will go out and plant some roses for National Rose Month. And even if it's hot, if you put water to them, they'll be fine.
They will be just fine. I certainly agree with you. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you, Teresa.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Susan Fox. She's one of the world's top rosarians. I certainly appreciate her taking the time out of her busy schedule to talk with me. And you definitely want, if you'd like to get a wonderful gift for your favorite rose gardener, she has a journal, and it's called The Four Seasons of Roses, Monthly Guide to Rose Care. And your favorite rosarian will appreciate it. And I have to tell you, some of my favorite roses that do very well here in Florida, I'll give you this list really quick. And it is, I love the David Austin roses. I love the Drift roses, all of the colors. I love the popcorn especially. Double Delight, Perfume Delight. I love Angel Face. Of course, Louis Philippe. And so those are some of my favorite roses that you can put in, and they do well here in Florida. Okay, that's very, very important. You do want to get roses that grow on Fortiana rootstock or Dr. Huey, and you can find those at your favorite nursery. All right. If you would like to email me, you can email me at teresa.watkins@live.com. You can go to my website at www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com. If you didn't hear all of the interview with Susan Fox, you can go to my website and go to my radio page, In Your Backyard, and all the podcasts are there. If you would like to learn more about termites, you can go to my February 5th podcast, and we talk about the conehead termites that are new to Florida that they want everyone to look out for. So you do, you have a lot of different podcasts you can listen to. Sign up for my monthly newsletter, and it will tell you everything to do in your own backyard every month out of the year. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you again to Susan Fox for coming on and telling us about roses and how to grow them here in Florida. Just the latest news, and she's just wonderful. I appreciate it. Remember, water's not only your right, it's your responsibility. Take care, everybody. See you next week.
All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.